views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I need, at the end of F10, Nick Fury to show up and be like, I need to talk to you about the Avengers initiative.
Oh, goddamn, that would be fucking awesome.
That'd be perfect, and then it's just one multiverse, because that's now been fully explored in Marvel. That's like the next sequence is multiverse, and the multiverse is just like Captain America in a Captain America, like NASCAR.
I just want to see Dom and Captain America just duking it out, just that, you know, that scene is where it needs to be. So.
When you got to talk about like the heroes of the Marvel Universe, what kind of cars would they have? Because Hulk is going to have like a monster truck for sure.
Well, we all know what Spider-Man's going to have. I mean, he's going to have a Spidey buggy. I mean, come on. So
Spidey buggy for sure.
Yeah, yep. He goes up walls, kind of like the Fast and Furious crew does.
Black Widow is tough, though, because is she going to have like a bomber, like something that it can't show up on radar, or is she going to have like a attack helicopter?
Oh, it's going to be the car. She's not doing that. I mean, we do see in this new movie that, you know, the helicopter, but no, she's got to have a sleek car. That's all. It's going to be like a Bond car. She's a spy, all right?
That's true. She's going to have like the Aston Martin.
Yeah,
like,
the Spy Hunter car. You know, you play the game. It's going to be that car.
I was surprised there wasn't as many. There was some car chases in Black Widow, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it was really just this gigantic like dump truck chasing them down.
Or car crashes. I mean, she gets on that bridge and then that's how she meets, you know, Taskmaster for the first time.
That's how you work it in, where Taskmaster is chasing Black Widow and her sister, and then on the parallel road is Dom and company with their massive magnets in their car.
It works yes.
Trying to steal shit.
And somehow their magnet fucks up Taskmaster's car.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then you got the perfect parallel.
And that's when Fury approaches the crew.
You know what, Marvel? At some point, you're going to have to listen to Geeks Under the Influence and get this gold that we're spinning.
We're doing it. Come on. That might be more of an issue with Disney not wanting to work with Universal, but, you know, I'm just going to throw that out there.
I did like in the car chase scene in Black Widow, though, that the sister, Florence Pugh, who I absolutely adore and was fantastic in this film, she was so apathetic to the car chase, not at all concerned at any point.
No.
There's not nearly as much of that harrowing attitude that Black Widow tends to have in these scenes.
She's already a part of the crew. She just doesn't get worried or scared. So
she's the friend that, like, no matter what happens, like, your friend decides to jump off the roof at a party and breaks their leg and somebody has to take them to the hospital and they're just, like, so unaffected by it. All right, somebody get me some paint stir sticks and some duct tape, I guess. Whatever. Just super on point, being able to do the shit, but just not at all affected.
Yeah.
And I love that. She's going to be in, I know, the Hawkeye series.
Oh, did they promote that at the end of the credits at all?
Yeah, they might have a little bit. Speaking of which, there are going to be spoilers all throughout this episode on the Black Widow movie.
You know my rule on that. If they see the title, they should know.
If you see the title, you know that we're going to be talking at length about it. Has everybody seen all the Disney Plus shows and everything? Okay, so the panel is up to date.
Oh, I've not seen this week's Loki.
Okay. Luckily, that's not going to come too much into the continuity of Black Widow, fortunately. That was actually kind of nice that it was this segmented movie that didn't have to be seen in a certain order at any point.
Well, I think everything also got kind of thrown all over the place because, I mean, Black Widow was supposed to come out last year, and then all the Disney shows were supposed to come out after that, and then obviously things happened with, theaters shut down and pushed back, so they had to reorder the shows and then have Black Widow come out, so... I feel like the person that was waiting the longest wasn't even her. It was, what's his name, that plays Red Guardian, who was hoping to have
David Harbour.
Yeah, some other movie to, you know, remind people that he was in Stranger Things and not the shitty Hellboy movie. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, I need something else that's going to remind people, like, I can actually do some good acting. Don't blame me for Hellboy being a piece of shit movie. So.
It wasn't his fault. I know. It really wasn't. But
you know, he was just like, all right, another movie. My name's in the poster. I'm good. People are going to eventually see it. And then COVID happens. He's like, fuck, I got to wait another year of people talking shit about my Hellboy movie.
You're not going to wait another year for our episode on the Black Widow movie. This is our first time post-COVID of being in person talking about a Marvel movie.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about it. We got a great panel. So welcome to episode 217 of Geeks Under the Influence, Black Widow.
I'm never going to yell. I'll just let you do it every time.
Great. Thanks for leaving me out there.
Hey, I did family last time we did the fast one. I said it out loud.
I mean, you could do family for this one, too.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. That's kind of the same theme.
And the geeky family we have here, our estranged family that we have in the studio right now to talk about Black Widow. Let's go through the introductions real quick so we can get in, because there's a lot to talk about. First up, a returning panelist, a blogger, a comedian, and a friend, Tori Sipe, is here.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Tell us about your blog. You are 90-centric.
Just talking about pop culture. Letstalkpop.com. And then, you know, having fun on the TikTok with all the kids. Follow me on that.
I recently got TikTok, and I definitely feel like the old guy at the show.
Oh, did you?
That's just a creep.
Oh, I wouldn't know from all the ones you share with us all the time.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, take a look at my social media stuff on GYPodcast.com to check out my TikTok. That's a thing.
Man, you even made it sound old. Like, come on, kids, join the TikTok.
I'm one of them cool kids with the TikToks.
God damn it.
Yeah. For your page. I learned that one.
Yeah.
The hashtag FYP.
Yeah.
I got it. I got that one.
Don't be choogy.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up. What does that mean?
It just basically means like lame.
Okay.
So if you need a lesson on your Zoomer speak, check out Tori's blog.
Yes. Letstalkpop.net. And then at Tori Sipe on TikTok.
On the TikTok. Excellent.
Yes.
Next up, we have the gentleman responsible for the VA Comic Con here to talk about that coming up here pretty soon. We got Brent Carreras here.
Hey, thanks, guys. Well, we were very excited to have, finally, after almost a year, we're bringing back the Richmond, Virginia Comic Con to the Richmond Raceway.
So excited.
Yeah, man. It's great to finally go back to work, you know. So it's going to be Saturday, July 24th. We're going to be opening up at 11 a.m. We're going to be running till 4. It's going to be all the stuff that you remember. Comics, crafts, toys. We're going to do the costume contest is back.
Yes.
The biggest change, everybody's wondering, what are we going to do post-COVID? The biggest change is that we're asking everybody to register online in advance. So we're not going to do, we're not going to be selling tickets at the door. We're going to be selling tickets in advance. So go ahead and check us out online, guys, at vacomiccon.com. That's vacomiccon.com. We look forward to seeing everybody on July 24th. It's free parking, free for kids, free air conditioning. Why wouldn't you be there? You're going to be meeting our friends, Geeks Under the Influence. They're going to be, you know, I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but we're going to have those guys setting up and doing a little bit of man on the street type of action and lady on the street type of action. And you know, whatever gender you ascribe to, it's going to be that type of action on the street, courtesy of Geeks Under the
Influence.
Also,
not on the street, but on the thoroughfare of the con, I guess. But yeah, we're going to have a camera set up. We're going to be just chatting with everybody coming around, seeing what books people are picking up, and just shooting the shit about all the cool geeky things.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, you've definitely done like radio promo before.
I've done a little bit of old voiceover. It's fun.
And secondly, I am excited almost more than anything else about going to this con, because there's been geeks that for the past like year and a half has been like doing Comixology or the online apps that genuinely prefer the physical copies, that are going to be like the weird people smelling the books.
Oh yeah.
Privately, it smells so good.
We're definitely gonna get a taste of our addiction here real soon.
Yeah, you might get some like book liquors coming out there, and
true junkies. You know, it's the what we call the bouquet of old comic books is you know, it's a very intoxicating. And you know, I don't, when they say Geeks Under the Influence, trust me, you can be influenced under the odor of rotting paper.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Come on out to Comic-Con,
just
guys.
Just waiting for that that special Punisher Max issue to be discounted because that guy over there licked the cover. You know,
I'm looking
forward to that.
Nice. Moisture damage. We love that. Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that. Another gentleman that's excited about the VA Comic-Con next to me that is taking the reins as my co-host of this episode. Unfortunately, Lowdown Scheduling wasn't able to come out for this one, but we've got a gentleman that's has more guest host spots than we have podcasts. I don't even know how that's
possible. I know, I keep asking you
possible.
To make more podcasts so I can be on more episodes.
Yeah,
so
you're on pretty much everything that we've ever made on the network.
I think so, yeah.
Fuck You Hunter is here.
What's up, bitches?
What's it?
Yeah.
Primarily, of course, is From the Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disasters.
That's right. That's right. So Speaking of which, I know we're going to have to cover the... We have not... I realized the other day for Beautiful Disasters, we have not done the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie yet. That is just
How
sitting there.
How is that even possible?
I know. It's just sitting there. I'm a huge comic geek, and I have yet to put that on the Beautiful Disasters.
I will volunteer as tribute if you need any help on that one, for sure.
Oh, yes, yes. So, and the man speaking, the Red Guardian of this shit show. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, you know, physique and everything.
After COVID, trying to fit in my clothes is pretty much the exact same
your
as
beard,
that scene.
Your beard's not there yet.
Not yet.
But
not yet, actually.
Yes, yes, yeah. Right. But the Red Guardian of our shit show here, Mike the Hobbit Bickett. So.
Still fits. Still fits.
God, if we could find a replica of that outfit and just have you wear that by next week, that would have been awesome. But shit. Just have you walk around interviewing people with that Red Guardian outfit on.
I can just do the accent. What I'm excited about Drunken Scene is that pretty much whatever role I get, I can do my really terrible Russian accent with it. So I'm excited about it just this episode just for that. So Black Widow, let's get into it. We have a lot to cover. Marvel is known for doing basically different genres within the superhero genre. It's been a thing they've been doing for almost the entirety of the MCU. This is definitely that kind of James Bond spy action adventure kind of vibe. There was the spy thriller vibe in Winter Soldier, but this is definitely more the fun, over the top, weird shit.
I was going to say, I feel like this kind of has the same kind of close to Winter Soldier. Kind of almost a standalone, like it's connected to the Marvel Universe, but it's a standalone story and it has those spy elements. And
sure.
So it's kind of its own movie. You're not waiting for other characters to show up in this movie.
I do like, unlike James Bond, where they have Q giving all the fancy gadgets and stuff, there's just this, the dude from Handmaid's Tale is her like gear guy.
Yeah.
That shows up with just like, here's the guns I have, here's an old helicopter, just the junkyard shit that he has laying around is what she ends up getting, which it's great to see him in more popular roles because he's great in Handmaid's Tale. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him in more stuff.
I still need to see that show.
And I feel like he's going to be incorporated with the new Black Widow. Maybe I don't know what her moniker is going to be. The sister.
They might just put her as Black Widow again.
Yelena. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
cause if I can remember, like, I think, for a while there, Marvel was trying to push a new Black Widow. That was her.
She's taken the moniker. She's also been with like the Pale Spider or something, I think, at one point.
I missed that part.
Yeah. I was looking over aliases, and it might have just been like some Russian dude be like, I don't know, not the Black Widow. She is a Pale Spider. She's pasty.
We're not even at the Drunken Scene yet, and you're already...
I'm going to do it the whole
goddamn
show.
It.
Yeah.
Which you kind of like, you know, Red Guardian, where it kind of goes in and out anyway, so... Because he forgot a couple times that he was Russian or he was supposed to be American. Like, after they get a jailbreak, there's a couple times where it kind of goes back and forth
a little
bit. You
have to expect that a little bit just because the Russian accent alone is so chunky in its own right that you sound like Yakov Smirnoff half the time whenever...
But they said
Soviet
that,
Russia, you rescue helicopter.
Well, that's why that first opening scene is so important because, you know, he's pretending to be American for so many years. So if he slips back and forth, that's just because, you know, he had been undercover for so many years as
that's
American.
What it is.
Yeah.
Totally. Wink, wink.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's it.
At least it's better than Elizabeth Olsen's slipping back and forth in Russian accent.
She apparently is, the Russian accent is coming back too.
Is it coming back?
Apparently in Doctor Strange, they said the Russian accent's coming back. So
if your life gets just completely utter devastated, then the accent comes back, you know, so.
Well, maybe it has to do with the multiverse. I don't know.
That is true.
I like that she had an out. She could have Kevin Costner'd this shit and just been the Russian character that doesn't have the accent, like Kevin Costner in fucking
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But no, they're like, nope, you got to do the Russian accent. Fuck.
Yeah, it's back. Sorry.
I'm stuck in this accent. I missed my vision is missing.
Stop.
No. But overall, what's our general feel on the movie? Did we all enjoy it or was there mixed feelings?
The moments when they really tried to develop the story, which was what gave this movie a little bit more depth than your average Marvel film, mm-hmm. was also what slowed this, in my opinion, slowed this film down to a grinding halt. In my opinion, again, that they were trying to build some sense of family and some sense of deflated expectations and other things, but I felt like, I don't know how long the movie was, 4 or 5 hours, but they could have easily cut about an hour out of that for me.
I absolutely understand what you're saying. I felt that there was a mixture of those important interpersonal moments and a lot of action, but they were all clumped together. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at like Winter Soldier or Civil War, there's action and then those interpersonal moments that are intercut between one another. Yeah. So it's more evenly spaced out. The last 30 minutes of this movie is just nonstop action, where there was a point where I'm like, yay, action. This isn't actually pushing the plot forward any. It's just a lot of explosions and people falling from stuff. And the same with the dialogue, where can something explode? Can you have just like, it doesn't even have to matter. They could just be like sitting around being like, yeah, pigs, that do what you want. And then there's an explosion in the distance and they go, that's weird. And then just move on with it. I just needed more explosions there.
I mean, I was fine with the sister to sister part. That was fine for me. So it was the, when you get to the dinner table scene that.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was like way better than I expected. I don't know what, I just didn't, I think because it just took so long to come out. I wasn't like expecting like what I saw.
Yeah.
But I will say like, the very end, you know, when she's there and then she looks in the camera, but then it just is a pause and it says 2 weeks later. I'm like, well, that could have just been a mid-credit scene. Like that was just kind of like, it didn't make sense to end the movie on that.
Yeah.
I did feel though at the very end, there was almost, and it's weird saying this, but almost too much going on as they're, you know, free falling and there's chunks of the satellite falling down and all this stuff. It was almost overwhelming. I don't know, like I got distracted with like everything that was going on. It was like cut to the plane, cut to them falling, cut to this. It was back and forth a little too much in my opinion.
She really released Elena's parachute way too quickly. Like they were like way high in the air. I was like, wait, you released, like you got to be way farther down on the ground. And then all of a sudden they were on the ground in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I was
like Taskmaster's,
wait, you were above the clouds and now you're on the ground.
Yeah, like Taskmaster's parachute like was 500 feet from the ground when it got released.
Yeah.
So Black Widow would be waiting there for 45 minutes for her sister to like slowly drift down from the upper atmosphere. Yeah. I did like Black Widow gave no fucks, like, guess I might die. And then just dove after her sister and then got her sister safe. And then was like, guess I might die again. And then just fought Taskmaster, just ready to roll.
And she kind of gives two shits. Like, yeah, I do appreciate that. I mean, come on. If you weren't sure how badass she was when she breaks her fucking nose on the table, like literally calls whatever his name, the head guy, she pretty much calls him a little bitch.
Dracoff.
Yeah, Dracoff. And then slams her nose. I was like, that's pretty full. Because like, if anybody here has seen Hereditary, that scene where he breaks his nose and that's hard for me to watch. And then to see someone knowingly do that to themselves. No, fuck that.
I was just waiting for her to do the weird laugh from Fight Club.
Yeah.
during the fight with the boss scene. I also thought, you know, at the end scene when Yelena is at the gravestone and is like the person responsible for your sister's death, I wanted her to turn and be like, that chick like tried to die so many times the last time I saw her. Like, I'm pretty sure it's not his fault. I'll take this.
I'm pretty sure Hawkeye could just tell her, oh, she thought she had a parachute. And she'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's,
right.
That's why she died.
I was like watching a video and I'm just like, how did she know that like he was with her on Vormir? How does she know any of that?
She doesn't know anything about
him. Well, no, I know. She's just like, oh, how did he?
She obviously watched the movie a la Spaceballs to figure it out, right?
Yeah. It's now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's perfect how Marvel was just like, okay, good. Now you've seen the movie and we're going to have another show coming out. If you can guess at the very end of the credits what's going to be, here's Hawkeye. There you go. And into their next show.
During the parachute scene in Black Widow, there is no point until Taskmaster pulls the parachute that you know they have a parachute. Like, I'm assuming it's not normal gear for all the widows because Black Widow doesn't have one. You know, like, there's no point where she knows for sure that there is a parachute somewhere in the conversation. So, I'm going to fight Taskmaster, gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, just gonna, because there's clearly no place for a parachute. Like, where was it hit? Was it in, like, a ring? Like, was it, like, Flash's costume, where it's, like, hidden in a ring?
I don't think it was that small. Like, a little tiny parachute. Yeah, no.
Just the backpack thing with it, the sticks are in, just open up a little bit, and this tiny little fucking parachute.
That would have been awesome.
There was, like, a little room to the side, and it said parachute here, and that's where she grabbed it from.
She grabbed it from,
yeah.
This is important information here, as there's a low-orbit satellite that
nobody ever noticed before.
No one noticed. It didn't show up on any radar or anything. It's just kind of there.
It wasn't even invisible.
No, it was just hanging out in very fortunately placed clouds.
I mean, between that and then the SHIELD hovercraft, like, how have no planes ever smacked into either of these things ever?
Has hover not run into the Red Room?
Yeah.
Just, like, coasting. I would be invisible.
I just would be nervous. Like, so this will definitely just stay up in the air all the time. Like,
what I needed was the floating gas station from Tailspin to be like in the next cloud over.
Yes.
Just like a fucking bear just filling up planes. We'll get a milkshake after this.
I thought they were going to bring up something about how there's no crime in the sky, so that's why you can get away with everything. You know?
There is sky crime.
There, yeah.
Clearly. I mean, the Red Room is lousy with sky crime.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You up in the sky, everything's loud. So.
Does that follow the same rules as like open waters?
Pretty much, yep.
You can have like a up in the air gambling. It's just like a bunch of like shoddily put together, stitched together air balloons that are just...
You get within 200 feet of Earth and you're going to get charged with a crime. But above that, you're scot-free, all right?
Rosie's Casino available 2 miles above Richmond.
Well, what do you think Elon Musk is planning to do?
Oh my God, that's the plan.
Yeah.
That's why he's scouting out locations right now in space. That's what's happening.
For his Bitcoin.
Yeah. For his Bitcoin casino.
Dogecoin, whatever.
Oh God. With Black Widow, there were a couple things that nodded to previous things in the MCU, but there's also a setup for maybe things happening in the future. I didn't think it filled out a lot, really. It lets you know where Black Widow was in between Civil War and Infinity War.
Which I don't know if anybody was really that curious about it.
Her hair changed. How did her hair...
Yeah, how did that happen?
They made sure to show that her hair in case... Like, they didn't want that off camera because no one would believe it otherwise. It had to be on camera that she changed her hair.
No, they showed it twice because she's, like, looking at the box of dyeing at the end. It was, like...
That's right.
Changed. They had, like... She was planning on dyeing her hair. She did it.
Disney knew if they didn't put that in, that there would be some angry, like, I don't know if you know this, remember, but her hair color changes by the time we see her in the next movie. Like, also, they had to put that in.
She's wearing her sister's vest in Infinity War, so they had yes. to make sure, because they're like, I know she didn't have time to go to Claire's Accessories for that. Like, where did she get this vest? This has a lot of pockets. That's custom. Like, she didn't just go into a thrift store and be like, yeah. Ooh, nice vest. They had to make sure that was...
Again, that's just to avoid trolls freaking out. And it's sad that they had to film that. Because, I mean, only trolls would really care about that. Nobody else gives a shit about that.
Nobody cares. Well, that's just toxic fans.
I'm just saying, to take the time to film that, it doesn't really matter. All right?
It was a very cute scene between the sisters when she was talking about her vest and was clearly excited about the vest. Like, this is... It has so many pockets. And I loved also, that's just such a like a meme thing of like girls excited about pockets. That they even trained from birth assassins are still very excited about women's accessories with pockets.
I love the fact that they acknowledge the superhero landing and her giving her shit
so
with the
perfect.
Hair whipping back. That was amazing. Because, yeah. I mean, yeah, she does do that a lot. And I had thought about that, but I was like, wow, somebody actually called her out on it.
I also love it because then she did it at the end and she's like, ooh, that was disgusting.
It was gross. Yeah. Think that all, that conversation with the hero landing also differentiates the attitudes between the two sisters, that Natasha is definitely available to be the icon of the Avengers and the, like what was talked about, that she's like the killer that girls look up to.
Yeah.
She's buying into that role a little bit, and her sister has no fucking time for that.
I mean, for years and years, Black Widow was a spy. She blends in. She would hide under stuff. You know, now she's on the biggest team in the world and all this attention. Her sister is still a spy, could still blend in, could still hide out. You know, like, I mean, you see where literally Black Widow has to stay in this really small ass trailer with a generator because the only way to not be seen is to be out in bumfuck Egypt, like away from everything.
I was thinking that she's definitely in this world has action figures. There's definitely like Hulk and Captain America action figures and all the Avengers. And clearly, there was also the Red Guardian action figures. But considering when he was active, that was the 80s. That was like when communism was still, like, so who's selling these action figures in the
80s? Well, you can see how shoddy made they were. So, I mean, it was
like
made.
You're in a bread line being like, you either get a Red Guardian action figure or a loaf of bread. And somebody's like, oh, not that hungry.
Yeah, it's like she's like a public figure, but they don't like talk about that. It's almost like the Boys TV show where yeah. it's just like.
I mean, I think the only person brings it up is at the end when he's like, I can control an Avenger. Like, that was the biggest thing. It's like, yeah, I can control you, and you're in the Avengers, so I somehow control the Avengers, which I feel kind of bad, and I don't explain this to the guy, but Like, she's in the Avengers, but she's not Thor level or Hulk level.
Well, they even bring that up, but...
I'm not trying to say. I'm just, like, power-wise, you know.
That line where, like, one of the big ones, like, what's one of the big ones? Well, like, I don't think that the space god needs to take ibuprofen.
Exactly.
But I was hoping they were also going to throw some shade at Hawkeye, and then I was like, I mean, you're not Hawkeye. So, like, you're better than that.
Poor Hawkeye.
Hawkeye getting the fucking shaft all the time.
And now he's going to have... Black Widow's sister try to go kill him. Like, you know, things are bad enough, and now they're setting up where it's like, and someone's going to go hunt you down.
Now, I do want to ask a question of the panel, because there is a point where they're hiding from Taskmaster in, like, the ventilation system of a subway, and she's like, yeah, me and Hawkeye, like, hung out here for, like, 2 days, and there's, like, fucking tic-tac-toe and shit scratched in on the side. So they literally, out of 2 days, played 2 games of tic-tac-toe and 1 game of Hangman, and they were like, we ran out of space. We don't have any more
that's how intense it was.
Scratch in. And also they're loudly scratching into metal conduit. Just like, this is fine, but we definitely don't want to show our faces as there's people waiting for the subway, just hearing scratch or metal above.
Or they had to wait till the subway was coming through and then play quick games of tic-tac-toe, scratching, right? Stopping, next one. So maybe they could only get 2 games then, because you literally have to wait for the subway to come through.
Now, what I want to ask is that there's clearly, you know, connection between Hawkeye and Black Widow in the movies, and it is ambiguous enough, but they were together in the comics at one point, I think at one point, right?
That's pretty much the big how Hawkeye's in the Avengers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to me, this kind of suggested that before Hawkeye had a wife and had a family, when they were first coming on to the scene, there was something, I mean, there might have been something that happened there. Yeah. Did you guys get that as well? Or
I mean, I thought there's been this kind of like wink, like hinted at relationship between Black Widow and a number of characters. Sort of strange relationship with her and the Hulk.
Yeah.
Some sort of strange relationship with her and Hawkeye
America.
And Captain America. And then also there's this, I can't remember, but she definitely like... is aware of and acknowledges the fact that Hawkeye's married. And like, so is it was there ever a romantic relationship? We have no idea, but she sure, like, she seems way too flirty to just be like, you know, Soviet spy.
Like, you're hanging out in an air duct for 2 days and you're like, no food. You're bored. You're playing fucking Hangman. You have run out of ideas. Nobody has Jane Eyre or anything to read. Like, there's nothing happening.
Oh, that would be exciting. Just both of them sitting there reading separately.
I mean, they're both like, assassin types, like, let's see how quietly we can bang in this air duct. I think would be a fun game, and more fun than Hangman.
Yeah, they even parodied that on SNL when she hosted. Did you see that like digital short where it was just like a new Marvel movie and it was like a rom-com and she was Black Widow and she's like, hey guys.
Yep.
And they're just like, because it was just like a joke that she was just like romantically involved with like all these people.
It does
and, like,
get confusing,
you know. I think like with her, you know, when she interrogated Loki in the first Avengers and then at the end of this movie with Dracoff, it's just like, she shows all these emotions and then she's just like, thank you for your cooperation. And she's playing a con.
Sure.
But I do think that like, I don't know, with Captain America, like her and Hawkeye definitely had something.
Yeah.
Something in Budapest.
Well, I mean, he was, like,
Budapest.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an operative and she was a spy. They obviously, their paths crossed.
There was at least a kiss.
Yeah. But I'm saying, we don't, how long was he married? You know, how long have they known each other?
I'm just picturing in the air duct where like they have a moment where they're like laughing because Black Widow won the Hangman and they're like, oh yeah, I win. Oh. And he's like, oh, you're so good at Hangman. And they laugh and then they get too close and then they stare at each other's eyes and Hawkeye moves in and she's like, no, I shan't. Like the forbidden kiss, just not ready for it emotionally.
I also don't understand like the whole Hulk thing, because there was a 5-year gap between Infinity War and Endgame, and then they didn't just date the whole time. I know they were sad, but and then like when she died, he's like, where's Nat? And Hulk is like, oh, and he's just like really sad. And I'm like, why? Like, y'all didn't go out for 5 years.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I think we have to understand that whatever happened in the shaft stays in the shaft, all right? That's the rules there. So it's hush-hush. Nobody will ever say
a
word.
The number of times I've said that in my life. When I was a fucking bridge troll.
Yeah.
I do like that everybody's romantic relationships in the Avengers are relatively, like, ambiguous, except Hawkeye, who has, like, a family. He's a family guy that wants to, like, make the kitchen bigger and do renovations to the house when he's not saving the world. And then Tony Stark, who's, like, banging out his assistant. And then everybody else is just not fucking. Like, it was suggested in Winter Soldier that Cap has banged some people out, but we don't know who, where they kiss, like Black Widow and Cap kiss, and he's like, is that your first kiss? And he's like, no, I'm 90, I'm not dead, like suggesting
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but he's also playing that off, like, yeah, it probably is his first kiss, but no. He's not like, no, I get it all the time, lady.
He's awkward, which means he's fucked only a little. Like, he hasn't fucked, he hasn't, like, railed out most of Jersey. Like, he's awkwardly fucked, like, two people.
No.
I think.
No.
I think you also have to remember, like, him and Bucky were born in, like, like,
I thought you were going somewhere. I thought you were going another direction, by the way.
Oh, going full slash fiction with this.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, even, like, when Bucky was trying to, in, like sidetrack Winter Soldier show, like,
yeah,
trying to ask out the one girl, it was just, like, he's very, like, you know,
awkward,
I mean,
about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they grew up,
I mean,
in a different time.
These guys are trained to take out like 10 motherfuckers in the span of a minute, but asking a girl out, that's like a whole, they've never been trained in that, right?
Captain America doesn't have to ask out anybody. Like,
no.
In the in-between times between, before Winter Soldier, when he's like, yo, I'm 90, I'm not dead, like, he saved the world at that point. So if he's going and buying a fucking bagel, like, down the street from his house, and he's like, yeah, give me a good schmear. Like, I work out regularly. Like, my body processes this pretty well. Extra schmear is fine. And then he's walking out, and a girl's just like, you're Captain America. Do you want to put your heroic penis inside of my vagina?
But he's got too many morals. That's the whole problem.
There's no moral conflict there. There's,
it's
like
Captain America,
a willing,
right,
woman being like, I want to be patriotic by sucking your dick. Like, that's...
You know, maybe it's just like because Peggy was his only love. Maybe if he had just like hooked up with a bunch of honeys, he wouldn't have been able to pick up Thor's hammer.
Ah.
Mm.
See, or there's some weird thing where he was picking up women and he had a Peggy Carter mask and he's just like, put this on. I know it's going to be weird, but you're about to fuck Captain America. I only have one requirement.
I don't think Caligula style Asgard is making any moral judgments on people fucking before marriage. I don't think they're like eating grapes and watching plays with Matt Damon in
worthy.
It. Just being like, yep, the slaves fan me and then blow me. Are going to be like, well, Captain America had premarital sex with somebody that was like super juiced about it. Guess he can't hold the hammer. Thor has fucked everyone in Asgard. Thor has fucked Idris Elba at this point, probably.
Loki's
like he ran out of Asgardian women, and he was like, "What are you up to?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm bored. Fuck it, why not?" Like, he has run train, and he can still get that hammer up. So I don't
God
see
damn
that
it.
As an issue.
I love this podcast where we can start out dissecting Black Widow, and it's like, you know, Thor's fucking everybody. Like, we just naturally go into that. Yes.
Always who the superheroes are fucking.
But again, Cap had Peggy Carter masks when he's fucking chicks. That's all I'm saying, all right? He was staying loyal to her.
Cap did, like, he saw what happened in Star Wars with Luke and Leia, and is like, I'll do you one better. I'm going to make out with your niece and then still pine after you. The niece is like, yeah, I know that you were, like, in love with my aunt. And you've been pining after her this whole time, but can you touch my boobs? can you give me a little bit of a kiss and grope?
That was probably great aunt, though. I mean, think of the timeline.
I mean, according to Cap, she was pretty great.
Well, yeah.
God
damn. Yeah. Yay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think this is a good place to leave it for the first half here.
I think so, yeah.
We got plenty to cover on the second half, so we're going to get into what I know is going to be a conversation about the Taskmaster.
Yes.
Probably the most changes out of, well, besides, I think Red Guardian was Black Widow's husband, I think, in the comics, if I remember correctly.
I'm not.
I don't know. We'll get into that on the second half, along with talking about what we're drinking and do a drunken scene or two. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys. Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Black Widow. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. The people that allow us to ruin our livers and get better equipment for the show. First off, of course, is Amazon.com. Jeff Bezos hopefully will stay in orbit, but if he doesn't, he's still not the CEO of Amazon anymore. So please feel free to shop Amazon through the link at GUIpodcast.com. When you go through the link, we get some money from Amazon for whatever you purchase.
So. I mean, you can still bitch about him, but it just seems kind of pointless now.
It's just like he's hands off.
Now you're just angry at a guy. So
he literally has a yacht that it's too complicated to put a helipad on it. So he bought another yacht for his helipad.
God damn it.
That's how much money this dude has. He's not part of the conversation anymore. Who is Geeks Under the Influence. If you shop through the link at GUIpodcast.com, purchase some old Black Widow comics, purchase some old MCU movies, really get into the spirit of this episode.
Yeah.
And make sure you do it through our link so that we get credit for it, so we can use that money for booze and occasionally equipment. And
booze and then maybe a wire to go to something.
To go somewhere.
Oh, I got to get a cable for something.
It's really great that most of our equipment's already bought, so I'm just doing like
if only they had a liquor store / electronic department, that would be perfect for you. Like just you could walk in, grab the booze, and then a couple cables, all
in
one stop.
I guarantee like New York City has one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You just people that just get drunk and buy a new DI box or something. But that's one way to support us. The best way to support us, though, of course, is through TeePublic.
Boom!
We got some new designs, including a design from Falcon and Winter Soldier that is fantastic. I'm going to see if I can put something together that won't get us a cease and desist from Marvel for Black Widow. Let's see what we can do.
Careful.
The hourglass is just what a Black Widow spider has, so I think we could probably get away with some stuff there.
Until we get sued by Black Widow spiders, so that would be the next step. So.
You know what? If I would spend my life savings on taking them down.
Yeah, so, you would.
Fuck them. Fuck all spiders. They can go die.
See, that's the slander right there.
That's
you just fucked up, man.
I hate spiders more than Jeff Bezos. So
wow.
Yeah. and even Bo Burnham hates Jeffrey Bezos. So
wow.
Yes.
But we have close to 40 designs available on TeePublic that you can get. T-shirts, the big thing they're pushing right now, they have sales, I think, for most of the summer on the non-T-shirt items, so you can get mugs, stickers, buttons, magnets, laptop covers, bags, all sorts of stuff, even kids'
onesies.
Onesies, yeah. You can get, that you can have a shut the fuck up Hobbit design on your infant if you
every
want.
Child should have that.
You really should. And we're going to be getting the new Beautiful Disasters designs up there pretty shortly, I believe.
Nice.
So I'm very excited. I need to get those because they look so fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely hyped about that.
Yeah, so check out our store on TeePublic by going to GUIpodcast.com/store or just hit up GUIpodcast.com and click on the store button. It'll send you right there. And that's our sponsors. That's who brings in the cash.
The moolah.
The moolah. So now is what is the real motivator for the show. The booze that we ingest while talking about some of our favorite stuff. We always try to try to pair it properly, something that you would thematically drink while watching or enjoying.
Sometimes that works. Sometimes that that's
we have a good choice for this one on our segment called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Wee. I need to get Kyle to do a Russian accent version of that.
No.
We're fucking drinking vodka.
The drink of the vodka.
You want to know where here is you go? Yes.
No. No, we're not okay. doing that.
But we
you,
are...
you can mess with his voice. You can put different background sounds, but let's not encourage him to do an accent and try to sing that.
I don't think I've ever heard him try to do an accent. Even on drunken scenes, he never does
He's very serious.
Very serious about it. But what is not serious is our choice for this. If you're doing a very Russian-themed movie, there's no better choice than the White Russian.
Yeah.
Or the Black Russian we also have is available as well. We're doing a Nikolai Vodka. Nothing but the best of the worst for this panel here.
We're keeping it classy, though. We're not just chugging out of the giant jug. We're actually, we made an actual drink, so.
Correct. Yeah, and it's not Aristocrat. This is a little bit, I mean, it's about the same price point, but it's a little bit better quality.
Anything's better than Aristocrat, all right?
With, of course, Kahlua. If you're going to do a coffee liqueur, I don't normally care about the brands of liqueurs, but like Kahlua, I feel like is an important choice. Tori would probably be the best to...
Yeah, no, only Kahlua. Like the itched Kahlua.
Yeah.
Like the drink itself is vodka, Kahlua, and cream.
So
it has to be Kahlua.
It has to be Kahlua. If you do a coffee liqueur, because it's like $4 for a gallon, there's a reason why
It's got to be Kahlua.
I have no problem skimping on the vodka because for me, at least, vodka for the most part ends up tasting about the same, especially in a mixed drink. Yeah. But yeah, the Kahlua, you got to do Kahlua, no coffee liqueur. And then, of course, heavy cream for the White Russians. Mm-hmm. The only difference with the Black Russian is just no heavy cream.
Yeah, it's just vodka and Kahlua for the black.
I haven't had a White Russian in a while, and it is delicious.
I'm feeling like the dude. So good.
Between either Black Widow, the movie, or The Big Lebowski, this is a perfect pairing for this one.
So I did want to say that, you know, I'm a non-drinker, but it was very entertaining watching these guys make the drinks because it was all done in a Russian accent, and then it was immediately followed by a request for lactaid. So, you know, I think we're all in good company here.
We're going to party up. Hey, there's lactaid.
That's the difference between partying when you're like 22 and partying when you're a little older.
I have to say, because I made the drinks because I'm a bartender, I actually have never drinking a White Russian or a Black Russian because I don't like coffee.
Okay.
And I had the Black Russian because I'm cutting back on the cream. And I feel like the second sip, I was like, this tastes like the first bite of a Tagalong.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I don't, even though it's peanut butter, but something about it, I was like, this tastes like a first bite of a Tagalong.
With the White Russian, I get kind of a tiramisu kind of vibe to the White Russian for sure.
Yeah.
A Black Russian, yeah, just got a little bit more of a hearty coffee flavor to it because you don't have the cream cutting it.
I mean, I try to make like theme drinks for shows. I've made a Supernatural drink. I just made a Dexter drink that is just like chef's kiss.
We're going to have to perfection. Talk off mic and maybe figure
we'll
out.
We'll talk off mic.
At least, some.
Is a Dexter drink where you enjoy it for the most part and at the very end, it's very shitty and disappointing and you were upset that you invested that much time in that drink? How does that work?
Well, I'm cutting the Dexter conversation short.
Yes.
We have another segment that we have to cover that is some people's favorite, some people's least favorite, because they hate fun. This is, of course, one of my personal favorites that we do is making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
Hello. So we've got two scenes from Black Widow. Fortunately, with a Marvel movie, all the nerds that write out all the quotes before a movie actually releases on the DVD were really good about this one. So I got a couple really great scenes here. The first one is between Alexei and Yelena and Natasha. So if anybody...
I'll do Alexei. That's cool.
Yeah, sign me a role.
If you want to do Yelena...
Okay.
On this one.
Okay.
And then I'll do Natasha so you can take a bigger role on the next one because Natasha has two words on this one, so it doesn't matter. Okay. So Black Widow starting with Alexei from 2021, whenever you're ready, fuck you, Hunter.
All right. Wow. Why the aggression, huh? Is it your time of the month?
I don't get my period, dipshit. I don't have a uterus.
Or ovaries.
Yeah, that's what happens when the Red Room gives you an involuntary hysterectomy. They kind of just go in and they rip out all of your reproductive organs. They just get right in there and they chop them all away. Everything out.
Okay, okay.
So you can't have babies.
Okay, okay. You don't have to get so clinical and nasty. Wow.
Oh, well, I was about to tell you about the fallopian tubes, but okay.
No.
Why do you sound like a Russian car dealer trying to sell hysterectomies? Oh, you haven't seen the best yet. Yeah. We do the best hysterectomies. That's going to be hard to follow, honestly. That was fantastic. I love the Owen Wilson
action.
Yeah,
I don't know where
vibe.
I got that from.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
Zoolander.
Over.
Wow.
Oh, your ovaries. Wow.
Oh, wow. Live, laugh, wow.
So, Tori, between us, we are doing Yelena and Natasha on this one. Do you have a preference?
I will do Yelena.
Okay, and I will do Natasha yet again. I'm double downing on my Natasha. So
yeah, sure.
I think I did okay on the first one with my two words.
Go for it.
I think I'm really going to send it home
just
on this
it.
One.
Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, get it, get it, get it.
All right. So, starting with you, Tori.
Okay. Why do you always do that thing?
Do what?
The thing you do when you're fighting, like the... This thing that you do when you whip your hair, when you're fighting with the arm in the air, and you do like a fighting pose. It's a fighting pose. You're a total poser.
I am not a poser.
Oh, come on. I mean, they're great poses, but it does look like you think everyone's looking at you like all the time.
All the time that I spent posing, I was trying to actually do something good to make up for all the pain and suffering that we caused. Trying to be more than just trained killer.
Well, then you were fooling yourself, because pain and suffering is every day, and we are both still a trained killer. Except I'm not the one that's on the cover of a magazine. I'm not the killer that little girls call their hero.
Yay. Bad Russian accents.
It was like that part in Rocky Bullwinkle with Natasha and Natasha. Yeah,
and Boris.
Yeah.
Boris was the other one, yeah. It's so bad. The Russian accent is so bad that I almost go into, it's-a-me, a Mario.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get into a point where it's-a-me, a Mario. Like, it's such an easy transition.
Russian and Italian is the same.
It's basically the same. Like,
basically.
Our Italian and Russian listeners know they're basically the same.
Yeah, don't even argue.
The best Russian pizza.
That's the spicy meatball.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the God. Best Italian vodka, yeah.
I got trolled for that last episode, too. Shit.
We're going to get into the meat of it on the second half here. Is that we have to talk about Taskmaster.
Yes.
That is such an important conversation point. I know, Hunter, you're a big fan of the character from the comic books.
Yeah, huge.
He's
definitely one of my favorite. I guess you call him a villain, but he kind of plays either side.
Anti-hero at points, yeah.
Anti-hero. Pretty much he's just the guy that's like, oh, I can make money off of my abilities. Who has the most money, and that's who I work for. So sometimes it's the good guys, most of the time it's the bad guys. But the comic version of him in the last 10 years, Marvel's really kind of pushed to give him more of a personality instead of just the guy with the skull mask, you know, that can mimic everything, where he talks a lot more Deadpool and stuff like that
in the comics.
Yeah, in the comics. Yeah. So definitely made a change in that with the movie. But as a huge fan, I'm fine. I can kind of cut different between the two and say I enjoy the Taskmaster of the comic for this reason, but I still enjoy the Taskmaster in Black Widow for what it was. It's set up, you know, part of the plot. So
yeah. I don't understand why they made it like a mute character for the most part. I don't tend to like those types of characters in general.
Yeah.
For the most, like it there's still a bitter taste in my mouth from Wade Wilson from Origins.
I mean, you have to be.
That you have somebody that is quippy, that, you know, talks a lot of shit, that becomes mute in a role in a film version. You're treading on already very dirty ground in fandom a little bit. So that was a choice.
So, yeah, I didn't care for the mute thing either. But then just hearing you talk about it, I'm wondering if it because, you know, she was so young when that stuff happened, so he immediately made her into a soldier, if that's more like why she didn't talk, because she was so young.
Well, plus, in the MCU, you don't really have any villains that are very, make a lot of quips.
Right.
You know, I mean, for the MCU, it's very villainy, and like, the close you have is Loki, and he's not really funny, more of just talking shit.
He's just hilariously mustache twirly about
exactly.
His stuff. Yeah.
I would argue Ultron had a lot to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll give you that.
But that was also weird about Ultron,
James
too.
James Spader.
The AI has, the funniest personality.
I'll say the closest you get is Jeff Goldblum. And
yes.
That's the closest you get to it. And that's, besides that, the MCU has stayed away for the most part of making their villains, just I'm motivated by one thing or I don't say much at all. So.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't really care about it changing to a female character versus a male character, or that they pulled it in as the daughter, which I think Hunter even mentioned, I saw a million miles away as far as the big reveal at the end. That wasn't oh my God.
Anybody that's watched enough movies, not even Marvel movies, just movies in general, it's and that's where she died. And you're like, no, she didn't. We didn't see a body. Come on.
The movie kept being so that's the red in your ledger, huh? You're still sad about it, huh? Poke. You're still sad about it, huh? You still feel weird about it? Yeah. Super weird. And he was supposed to die too, but he didn't, huh? But she did. So, huh? You're still sad just the whole fucking time. So then it finally was the big reveal. I was like, no, I know. It was such... I wanted Natasha to be like, no, we know. Plus, we've known this whole time.
Plus, as her being the main, hero of the movie, you knew they weren't going to, stand with her actually murdering a child. There was going to be, technically she didn't. She just maimed her, and then she became a mute that murdered other people. To kind of give her that resolve a little bit, because you don't want to end the movie and go, yeah, that was really good, except that part where, Black Widow murdered a child. That kind of threw me off a little bit.
I still rooted for Colin Farrell in Bruges, and he murdered a kid. Yeah. So, but it's doable.
You can't compare In Bruges to a Marvel movie, all right?
Basically the same movie.
You remember the part where Thor was, fascinated by midgets, right?
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, basically. Yeah. The powers of Taskmaster were still the same. Now, how they got them was very different. That there was a microchip.
It was more, technology-based.
That bothered me, too, because that was what Tony Stark's suit did in Civil War, which was the last movie we saw Black Widow in, before the time frame for this one. So, clearly the technology was stolen from Stark technology, because it's the same technology a suit had to mimic the fighting style of Cap.
I mean, they kind of set up the MCU. Most stuff is stolen from Stark, and then either Hydra gets it or, S.H.I.E.L.D. gets it. Somebody gets it, then utilizes it. So,
but it was actually cool to see the different fighting styles portrayed by Taskmaster. You had the moment where it did the, Wakanda Forever pose, and then the fucking the claws came out.
Yeah.
There was the shield that was, of course, from Cap. There was even the knife switch to a different hand thing that was from Winter Soldier. There was the flip-up move that was clearly, if not Black Widow, one of the Widows. Just a classic Widow move, maybe. for day one of Black Widow training in Red Room, we're like, okay, you got to do the flip up. It's like an ollie for skateboarding. It's like the first thing you learn. So you got to be able to flip up without using your hands.
But the people that are complaining about, Taskmaster being a woman, again, it's the MCU. They can kind of change around stuff. The same thing happened with the Ancient One with Doctor Strange, It's not that big a deal. Just go with the flow, Just don't freak out over this.
Feige came out recently saying that was definitely a misstep to cast Tilda in the role.
Really?
Yeah. Came out and saying,
wow,
they didn't want to, it was them avoiding one misstep and then falling into another, is that they didn't want to do the Fu Manchu, ancient Chinese.
Okay, I'm glad they didn't do that.
The ancient Chinese wisdom guy thing with the role of the ancient one. So they decided to just pull it completely the other way. But he's like, yeah, we could have had an actual Asian character that just wasn't an old, stereotype.
I mean, they might as well just gotten Chris Farley from Beverly Hills Ninja then.
Yes.
I don't know. I just think that's just a stupid point. Because, it's not like Tilda Swinton before she was that was just like, oh, I'm a Karen. I'm going to Bath and Body Works.
Yeah.
That's not where she came from.
Yeah, it's just weird for them to move away from that, so just lean into it. She was awesome. She was perfect for the role. That's why she was the Ancient One. They're like, I guess we could have kind of gone another way. Lean into it if you're going to.
Well, it's the showing weakness thing with fandom, is that Feige, by saying that all the wolves are coming back out, that argument had already happened. People had moved away from it. They had moved on. It wasn't a thing anymore. And then Feige is like, yeah, we probably should have cast an Asian character. And people are like, yeah, you fucking should. People from years ago gave up on that.
Is
argument.
Marvel just dominating DC so much that he wants to bring it closer down? let me say something and talk shit about my own movies, since DC's not going to, do anything better than us.
I don't know. Suicide Squad is coming out soon.
Are you making a call before you see the movie with a DC movie?
it's a James Gunn property, and yeah, early reviews are coming out already saying that it's like gratuitously violent and amazing.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm excited, but I will not use something till I've seen it.
Okay, fair.
To defend, fair. Like, well, you know, Suicide Squad's gonna be awesome. Watch again. It's coming out by Warner Brothers. They have a tendency of editing shit and fucking it up.
Look, I said that Green Lantern was going to be the greatest superhero movie of all time, and I was proven wrong. So maybe Suicide Squad will be a boner.
Did you really say that?
No, I didn't say that. No one in their right mind said that.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds did.
Ryan Reynolds was like, yeah. No, the preview for Green Lantern where he's got the clearly bad CGI suit, and he's like, I know, right? I went, I love Ryan Reynolds. This is going to be garbage. And then there's the Matchbox car thing. Different show.
That's, moving on.
That's a beautiful disaster.
Luckily, he got a second chance with Deadpool, as Chris Evans got a second chance with Captain America.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know, because not another teen movie was not...
not his peak. Yeah.
Actually, Michael B. Jordan with, you know, goddamn, he was the Human Torch in Fantastic Four Sticks.
Was that before Black Panther, though? Or was that after?
That was before.
That was before.
Oh, yeah. It was?
Yeah.
That was 2014, I want to say.
Yeah.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Everybody's just blocked that version out.
Because they're remaking it again, so.
Yeah, they finally announced that they are going to be making a Fantastic Four movie.
Again.
Mm. No, but I'm confident Here we go. That Marvel's going to make it at least fucking, like, not nonsense, at least.
I mean, the first one from, like, 2005 wasn't that bad.
The fucking rubber suit monster thing that they had in that? Michael Chiklis doesn't deserve that amount of bullshit.
All right, well...
The commish deserves better.
God damn it.
Are you talking about the Shield?
No, the commish.
Before he was badass in the Shield.
He was a lovable police commissioner.
I have a whole thing against the Shield, so...
You need to watch the commish. It's available probably on some free streaming app, Tubi or something, maybe.
Sure.
He was a lovable, balding police commissioner that had a family that loved him, and he always made the hard call, but the right call.
So Hank from Breaking Bad?
Less racist. Less racist,
and
for sure.
Less competent, I guess. He didn't really, you know, was a part of a task force, and that I remember.
I remember there was a famous... Halloween candy episode of the commish where there was somebody poisoning the kids, and so the commish was on the task to like find out who was poisoning the children, and it was this like dude, and they got him, and
what?
Yeah, and he sent his kid out to like get the candy so they could x-ray it in the police van. And and then the commish got him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So the commish.
Commish talk.
Let's go into the commish.
The only podcast about Michael Chiklis.
Now let's go. Let's talk about the commish of Black Widow and Red Guardian, and, you know, where he was the, you know, oversized, you know, kind of.
I fucking loved David Harbour as the Red Guardian.
Did a great job.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. I also loved that he is clearly pathological in his telling of stories, where it doesn't matter if it's true or not. I don't know if he believes it or not. I don't think it matters if he believes it or not. He fought Captain America in the 80s when he was on ice, and nobody's going to tell him different.
I just love the fact that you have the vaults and you have these other things for containing supervillains, superpower people. And then in Russia, it's just, put him with everybody else, even though he could literally break arms and like break out whenever he wants to. They just don't care. They're like, just throwing him there. He'll be fine.
Everything about this character is explained in the arm wrestling scene, because everyone in the prison knows that he's going to beat them. Like, he's a super soldier. He knows he's going to beat everybody. There's never a moment that he's concerned at all about losing arm wrestling. He's bragging about fighting Captain America and all his fucking exploits, and he's just crushing people in arm wrestling. That's completely the character, where he is so self-aggrandizing the entire time. He's the biggest champion of his mythos this entire movie, and it's brilliant.
Did you know that because of Stranger Things, that's why he had all that hair and stuff? Because originally he was supposed to be bald, and spoiler for Stranger Things, but in the end of Stranger Things, he's bald, and in
Russia.
Yeah, so they made him like the crazy like hair, because he was like, it's got to be completely different than like...
So they didn't just have him go off one set and film to the other set.
I mean, it would have been much easier, but just didn't want fans to get confused. Like,
no, there is, speaking of crazy, there is a fan theory about that, too.
I just love the little...
That's why they changed the hair.
The little nod they throw out there when she's confused, and she's like, oh, yeah, I know you're the Crimson Dynamo. And they're like, Mm-hmm. For, you know, comic book people that know
that's
that was
character,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that, which means we'll probably never see the Crimson Dynamo
at this point. Yeah.
I mean, that's still in the wheelhouse. I mean,
so we're not getting the super Soviet soldiers.
Well, also the last guy that he like arm wrestled, the huge dude where he just like crushed his hand. He called him like Ursa, and he was supposed to be the bear.
Yes.
And then he's like, "You big bear!" Like, so that was another.
I'm glad I'm not the only person to pick it up on.
Yeah.
That. Well, there was a lot with that. With the mother was the Iron Maiden, right? That was her character in the comics.
Oh, Melina. Yeah.
Melina. Yeah, yeah. It was the Iron Maiden in the comics. They do that a lot. Sometimes you got like what is it, the fucking Leaper, the fucking French parkour motherfucker,
Batroc.
Yeah. That they're basically that character without all the bells and whistles of the costumes and stuff. But then there's also like in Daredevil, there was Stilt Man. That you saw stilts on a shelf in the background. You know, the Marvel's really fun about throwing the names in as just side characters randomly kind of thrown in that aren't going to be part of the plot at all.
Because I'll be honest, I never thought I would hear any of the Soviet soldiers, like that team names dropped or see any of them on screen ever. So that definitely threw me for a loop when they actually had one and then you hear all the other names mentioned. Like, yeah, we're to that point now. Because that's like, are we going to get the, you know, West Coast event or the East Coast Avengers eventually? Like that kind of randomness. So
I don't know about East Coast Avengers, but we are definitely getting a Thunderbolts.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's so clearly being set up with.
All right,
so
Great Lake Avengers. That's what I meant to say.
A Great Lake. Oh God, yeah. Please, because you know who's on Great Lake Avengers.
God. All right.
Girl.
I made a mistake.
Oh, you did, Squirrel Girl, Doreen Green for fucking life, darling. I love you.
Oh,
I will find you one day, and we will be together. Squirrel Girl forever.
God damn it. I forgot about that.
Do you think Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers, though?
I don't know. There's been talk about Dark Avengers. I think it's more leaning towards because Zemo's out and he's such a major part of Thunderbolts.
I need another 1 hour long dance scene from him.
No shit.
Yes.
I love that was like
dance 0.2 party.
2 seconds of one episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
It's
and just
kind
of
sad.
It took over the internet.
I was going to say, that's kind of sad that of the entire show, that's the main thing people talked about was that dance scene. Like everything else is like, yeah, it was pretty good. But man, Zemo dancing, that was the shit.
There needs to be like an electronica dance night at a club called Zemo Dancing.
Yes.
And it's just like really obscure Eastern European electro.
Yes.
Needs to be a thing.
We need to talk to Fallout about that.
Fallout would fucking do it.
Yes.
Like, Eastern European dance music? I have 4 hours of it just ready to go just in case somebody ever asked me that. No, their DJs are fucking crazy. There's just some weird obscure thing. It was like just birds chirping, but to a beat. And I'm like, yeah, I've got like 16 hours of it ready to roll at any point. Yeah, let's do a fucking bird chirp night. Why not? I do want to talk about, before we finish, there was a theory going around about the mom, Melina, about her actually being the one behind the scenes that was pulling a lot of strings while this was happening. And I wanted to kind of throw out the theory and see what you guys think, that the entire time, the whole focus of it was for her family, quote unquote, to knock out Dracoff so she could take over ownership of the Red Room and the widows and the like. And if you have that in the back of your head, a lot of the moves actually make sense. She actually made the Red Room. Like she designed it. She knew where everything was. And there's points where Dracoff sees her in the camera feed, like knows where she is and what she's doing, where she's left at no point but to bring it down. Also, all the evidence of her ever being involved in the Red Room is destroyed with the Red Room.
That's
true. So she's free and clear.
Yeah.
As far as anybody's concerned. And now there's all these, like, awakened widows that are looking for leadership.
So who took the file that has all the Black Widows around the world file? Oh, she did.
She did, yeah.
Oh, wow. That helps out, yeah.
The 7,000 Black Widows around the world, yeah.
But then who did she give it to because she's dead?
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure she gave it to her quote-unquote mom, you know. Like,
she gave it to Melina or she gave it to Yelena?
I thought she gave it to Melina, so.
Did she?
Yeah, I think it was given to Melina, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So it might be that she's been kind of working this angle the entire time.
Which works out. I mean, yeah, if you look at it, you've got someone planning on taking down and then you just step up. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it.
Now she's like the mother of Taskmaster, basically.
Yep.
That, it, you know, who's she going to listen to? But maybe the person that helped like revive her from her, you know, existence.
Because then, to be fair, like, after that happened, it was like Infinity War, and then half, like, of all existence got wiped. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, like, a lot of Black Widows got wiped. So it's just, like, it's not, like, in the back of, like, Natasha's head, like, oh, maybe Melina's, like, bad. Like, because maybe she, I mean, maybe Melina was also one of the people that got wiped.
I know. I do like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe
Colin Jost, maybe, like, Melina's bad. Like,
maybe I shouldn't have given her that drive.
Picture an Endgame where it's like, oh, maybe I should have let Hawkeye jump.
But here's the thing. Like, Melina could have been one of the people that got wiped, so Natasha's dead now, and then everyone's back to normal. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if Widows are going to clearly come in at some point, mm-hmm. and I think sooner than later, just because there's no other excuse why this movie didn't happen sooner, unless it's setting up something that's going to be used soon in some of the later films, or just women's can't be the heroes in a super people don't like girls.
Ew.
Girls
I'm pretty
gross.
Sure that, yeah, that's not the case with Black. I mean, them releasing Black Widow and as well as it did, I think that stereotype is gone. I mean, I think, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of put an exclamation point after Captain Marvel did well, after Wonder Woman, the first one, did well, that, like, there is no, like, I don't know, can we market this and stuff like that? Like, people, mm-hmm. like, you make a good movie with a good, strong female character, people are going to come see it.
I want to see that dipshit at a fucking Marvel, like, round table being like, I don't know if a beloved female character that people have been watching for 7 films are going to really come out to watch them as the lead in their own movie. And then Kevin Feige just, like, shoots him in the face.
So, Scarlett, like, you got your own movie now. So, like, what was your diet?
Yeah. I've seen that clip. She's like, are you fucking serious?
But what I will say is that the Bechdel test or whatever the test is for like a female mm-hmm. character lead in a movie, that they don't have a romantic interest, like things basically that a woman is able to be just a woman and not a foil for the male characters.
Right.
Nobody was iced, the fridged or whatever.
Fridged.
Mm-hmm. She didn't have any real romantic interests. She had like male counterparts, but they were treated more like family than a romantic interest, or mm-hmm. ambiguous at best.
She might have had a few daddy issues, but that's just because of the situation.
That's a like a no shit you do. Everybody would have that. So it passed on at flying colors on the Bechdel test as far as how these characters were represented and shown on screen. They didn't get like minimal screen time, even though they were like top billed. You know, it was done very well, and so I'm really glad to see that. That is being considered with these movies, that it's not just like hot chick shit that's happening, like a Fast and the Furious movie where there's a 3-minute like girls in bikinis like writhing in front of cars.
Yeah.
That they're treated, you know, even the outfits aren't like, you know, there's no midriffs showing while they're fighting people. You know, it's an actual like combat uniform.
I do appreciate this movie is pretty self-contained. You're not watching this going, okay, we need to have these other like Marvel characters in here. Like that's what it reminds me a lot of Winter Soldier, where it's just telling a story. You're not relying on waiting for cameos and things like that. It's her mm-hmm. movie.
And from what I've read about the building of this story, there was talk about cameos where I think there was even like a Tony Stark cameo that got cut out of the finished product mm-hmm. because the conversation was that it would be detracting from the story if a male character came to help. To help save the day or like pop into the last second and like do a thing that was important. It was important for the female characters that were the leads in this movie to be the ones that saved the day at the end. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great.
They're the ones that rescue their dad. I mean, I mean, if it's not for them, he's fucking stuck in prison the rest of his life.
Well, I think that's mm-hmm. why it was great that they portrayed the Red Guardian that way, where he was a badass, don't get me wrong, but he was also overly confident for what he is able to do. And so he wasn't the dopey guy that didn't get shit done, but he kind of was a little bit of that.
No, yeah, he was just like, oh, you rescued me. And they're like, no, we don't care.
Yeah, we just want to know where the Red Room is.
Because also, like, if they wanted to rescue him, they would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's been there that whole time. They knew where he was.
Like, I mean, after they were done with their Black Widow program, if they were like, we're going to rescue Alexei, like, they would have done it. And yep. He's like, oh, thank you for rescuing me. And it's like, No, we don't give a shit.
My family, they care about the Red Guardian because I am family. So great.
Where's my earpiece?
It is funny as we start the when we start the movie and like you know there's the escape and then he's talking and it seems very like kind of in charge and competent of things. But then when we get to the prison part, we realize like, oh no, he was just like following orders. He's actually pretty incompetent unless people are telling him what to do.
Oh, he's the big dumb guy that you point. Yeah, at. Like he's more the Hulk than he is Captain America. He's like, oh, you go to fight. He even says like, I want to crush something.
Yeah.
And his wife, quote unquote, is just like, there's the Taskmaster. You can crush them. And he's like, oh, I do that. And he doesn't.
No,
like he doesn't at all. He's like, I want to punch stuff because that's where he is. He's like, he's not dumb. But he's not the brains of the operation at any point.
No.
Yeah,
no.
He's the guy that goes and breaks things. So, yeah, I really want to see this character again. Mm-hmm. I really hope that he comes out and shows up in some other property, whether it be Hawkeye.
I would say Hawkeye.
Hawkeye would be the smart move. Where he ends up getting, because of, you know, Natasha did or something, he ends up getting, like, a pass to move to America. America's great. And then you do the whole thing where he's, like, wearing a Yay USA t-shirt, and he's wearing, like, the hat. He's like, oh, I love America. Look, they have all of my action figures, mint condition, $2,000 on eBay. You know, just...
I mean, we learned anything from Marvel. They'll put characters from one into another. I mean, you know, just teasing the trailer for Infinity War, where it's literally, like, mm-hmm. Thor meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll throw Red Guardian in anything they want. They give two shits.
Overall, I had a great time with this movie. There's, like any movie, there's going to be some nitpicks here and there, but I think overall, it's a pretty much straightforward Marvel film. It's not doing any kind of the wackadoo stuff that they're setting us up for with the next phase. But I think that's kind of important. Just like Falcon and Winter Soldier was a straight-ahead Marvel movie.
Yep.
And was like a breather in between WandaVision and Loki. And I kind of needed that in between just mm-hmm. to ground me a little bit before moving forward. And I think with the Eternals and Shang-Chi coming out, we needed like a grounded Marvel movie just to kind of keep our shit straight a little bit. Cause it's going to get heady.
Yep.
It's getting weird.
So this, and you're right. This was a little bit more of a layered film that we, you know, maybe a deeper film that we expect from the MCU. But I'm kind of surprised that have we talked about the elephant in the room, the end credit scene, or are we?
Oh no, we've mentioned it, I think, but we haven't talked at length that the 18 name character, Lady Hydra, basically.
Val.
Yeah,
Val, who showed up in Falcon and Winter Soldier, is clearly recruiting the new Black Widow, I guess, for Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers.
Some team, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Val, so, because that was supposed to come out before Falcon and Winter Soldier, so that was supposed to be your first appearance, not mm-hmm. Falcon and Winter Soldier. And, I don't know. It's going
to
be crazy.
So there would have been more of a reaction when you watch Falcon Soldier, like, yeah, oh shit, it's that chick that talked to Black
exactly,
Widow.
Exactly, it's about, but, you know, the conversation they had, it seemed like she was already working for her.
I have a little bit of a theory that there was a throw-off line from Falcon and Winter Soldier about the shield that I think directly informs the nature of the movement with either Dark Avengers or Thunderbolts with these characters, is that she said the government doesn't own the shield. It's a gray area, which also suggests that, like, if you look at it, the Avengers aren't government sanctioned either. Like, they had to sign the Sokovia Accords to operate. There's nothing saying that another team can't exist. Like, it's not that you are signing up to be B or C team under the Avengers, like the Young Avengers that they're definitely also setting up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. But why wouldn't there be a competing, like, Hammer Industries represents, you know, the Thunderbolts kind of vibe going, where there's less Captain America run and more fucking dark, weird version of it, you know, the edgy team.
I mean, every government wants to have control a team like the Avengers, yeah. So you can do what you want.
I'd watch John Walker and Yelena lead a team. I'd watch that show any day.
With him trying to do his best to be like the most Captain America he can be, and her just like cutting him down every single fucking second.
I have a lot of thoughts about it, but yeah, that's for another day.
Wyatt Russell,
yeah,
yep.
who played mm-hmm. him. did a fantastic job.
Amazing.
And he even's like, no, if people hate my guts and are sending me death threats, that means I did my job. Like, yeah. I did it right. So he's like, actually just, got the best attitude.
Just
about
don't
it.
Wear the helmet again. That no, was, no, that was,
ears. Why are the ears out like that? Like, get a fitting helmet.
That first shot is what so hurt us so bad. Because how many people, I know they compared it to the shot of, what's his name, in Up, and just that yep. face oh, was so goddamn 100% goofy.
The same. Yeah. Yeah. There's even photoshops of people put the helmet on the dude from Up, and it's eerie.
Yeah,
it's eerie.
The helmet even, needs to stay off. No chin strap.
There's
no
an
chin
interview
strap.
Where they where he's shown the Up character with the Captain America helmet, and he's like, "That's a yeah, that's perfect. That's amazing. That's so good."
Oh no, I don't want to see that.
Well, he was raised by Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, so he has the best attitude about this shit. Where he's just like, "Yeah, people are gonna hate my guts. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I know that's part of the territory." He's watched his parents run through that, especially after his dad did escape from L.A. I'm sure that he saw.
So how do you apologize, Dad?
Yeah.
Or just being ego and Guardians too.
Watching and be like, my dad doesn't play basketball that well. I think this is a good place to stop it. Overall, I think it was a pretty solid Marvel movie. I'm really glad that it got decent response in the theaters. It's more of a sign also that the theaters are coming back.
Yeah, it was nice actually to anticipate something and it'd be good. And I'm talking to you, Wonder Woman 1984.
Ugh.
Yeah, because that was nice. That was my, like, oh God, I really hope I'm not walking into another 1984. And I was happy that it was actually a strong movie. I mean, it's Marvel, so I was kind of expecting it, but you just don't know anymore.
I'm just glad that was a sequel instead of the first one, so it wasn't like, see, guys, girls can't be superheroes in a movie. Sequels, this is bad. In the sequel, it's like, see, guys, like, shut up. The first one was great. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the best way to send out this episode. So thank you so much to my panel. Brett, what's happening with the con?
So once again, we're going to have the Richmond, Virginia Comic Con out at the Richmond Raceway, Saturday, July 24th. We're going to be general admission at 11 a.m. and we're going to have Geeks Under the Influence.
Yes,
we'll be
will.
There at with their very own booth. So be sure to stop by and say hi to those guys. We can't wait to see you. And kids are free, 12 and under, free parking and plenty of free air conditioning.
And part of that, we have some exclusive merch that we only sell at our live events. We got some hats, koozies and stickers that we only have for like trivia nights and stuff, which we haven't been able to do in at least a year and a half.
I would say a year and a half.
Yeah, whereabouts. So we have those exclusives that are going to be available at our booth for you to purchase. So if you want a GUI hat that says East Coast Local on the underside of the brim, so if you want to pop it like you're a member of
Suicidal Tendencies,
yeah. Then you can do that. We also have koozies that say, hey, we're fucking drinking.
Yes, yes, the immortal and, Kyle and smash words.
Very solid stickers that a friend of ours made that I've had on my car for like 3 years and it looks brand new.
I was gonna say I gotta hype up the quality, man. I've had them mine for like 3 years and I've had other stickers same time that have disintegrated already.
Yeah, and this
GUI stays strong.
It's still fully there. So very strong stickers. So check out the booth, buy some merch, or just come and hang out and talk on camera if you want. We're gonna be there and plenty of comics to purchase as well. So show us your swag. I wanna see the what's in my bag of GUI of like the cool shit that you purchased.
Nice.
And we'll see you there. And thank you, Brett, for giving us the table. Appreciate you.
Thanks for hosting me on the show, guys.
Absolutely. And we'll see you guys next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're not doing a Knights next week. We have to cover Loki. So that is the next episode. It's going to be a full GUI episode. So check out that next week. I'm Mike the Hobbit. And join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die. GUIPodcast.com.
I don't know, not the Black Widow. She is a pale spider. She pasty.